Good morning, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Happy Friday to you. Welcome live into the Common Workspace Studios for this drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser here on AM 1030 KVOY, The Voice, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I am your host, Zach Yenser. A full Friday show for you today. Happy Friday, by the way. Hope a great weekend is ahead for all of you listening live and on the podcast. President Bobby Robbins of the University of Arizona will be our closeout here on the show. He'll be on at the bottom of the hour to talk everything University of Arizona, COVID, students, classes, Washington, D.C., football. We're going to try and cover the gamut with Mr. Bobby Robbins on the show. Looking forward to that. America has lost the thread. An interesting piece that was in the Wall Street Journal by Peggy Noonan, a writer that I've come to really enjoy. We'll talk about that. But to get us going today, and I couldn't think of a better way to do so, Jason Robinson, MassMutual Financial Friday. We're doing this on the front end this week instead of the back end. Jason Robinson, always good to be with you.
Yeah, you sandwiched me between the mayor yesterday and Robbins this afternoon. I'm just like, oh, or on the bottom of the hour, I'm like, man, this is a tight spot here. I better bring it.
It was a two mayor, one university president week here on the show. So
nice, well done.
Yeah, I believe in you.
Good, let's do it.
So Jason Robinson is with us. That is our show today. September is Life Insurance Awareness Month.
Yes, sir.
And we are theming our conversations this month around that topic. And it seems simple on the surface, but it's really deep once you get into it. So what aspect of life insurance are we talking about today?
So I thought we would talk about the two different types of life insurance contracts and products that are out there. And I thought this one was going to be interesting because there's a lot of different contradictions with my colleagues within the industry. So I thought, what better way to kind of talk about these things, than to bring them light. So really, I think what we're going to do is just the best way to kind of talk about this is I'm going to talk about the attributes, I think, of the two different types and let the conversation go from there with you. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right,
sounds
perfect.
Good. Let's demystify life insurance.
All right, sounds good. Well, I'm going to go ahead and start with what is known in the industry is called term insurance. So term insurance can really be, I think sometimes I use this as like an articulation of how to imagine it. I think imagine's a good word because our brain works, I think, in the language of pictures. So I want to kind of use this as a good understanding is like renting your insurance. So kind of like similar like renting a home, you're renting the insurance. So you in the term insurance, you have it for a set period of time. You have the coverage in force. So if you happen to pass away any time, it could be a couple months after the contract's placed, or it could be the day before it expires. Any time during that, if the unthinkable were to happen and if you were to pass away, the contract would pay out. So one of the pros, so that's kind of the attribute, right? The best thing about this thing is you can get a lot of coverage for a very low cash outlay. So sometimes those individuals that are more like budget oriented, this can be a very great solution to getting the coverage that you need. Now, one of the cons, I guess, you said, or maybe one of the downsides, is that at the end of the contract, when it goes to set to expire, there's no what I would call like residual value. So similar to like renting a home, Zach, if we were renting a home and we chose to move out, would you be able to go back to the landlord and say, hey, can I get some of my money back?
Right. Yeah. Or there's no equity for you in it.
Right.
Yeah.
Usually the landlord says, well, I'll show you where to find your money.
Right.
But all joking aside, that's, I think, hopefully a good visual for people to think. It's kind of like you're renting the insurance. You can get a lot of coverage, fits within the budget, but there's not necessarily any residual value at the end of the term, or if you just don't need the insurance or don't want it at the end of the day.
It's a great picture. Yeah, I that will help me now because you talked about the terms with us, and we've worked on this together, you and I, for our family, but it never quite clicked that way.
Yeah.
So that's helpful.
Absolutely. All right, so moving into the other one, which is really where most people get riled up, is what we're going to call permanent insurance today. Now, there's some other terms. It could be, maybe a whole life insurance, cash value life insurance, you know, any of those other terms, they're all kind of all the same. I'm just going to use the term permanent insurance for today's conversation. But this is going to be more like owning the insurance. So there's a set number of payments. Sometimes we can design these things for 10, 15, or to a specific age. But just like owning a home where, you know, you make 15 years, you know, of mortgage payments, at the end of it, you own the home outright. Same thing with this kind of a contract. You have certain amount of payments. You once you get those all taken care of, you own the life insurance then forever. So, you know, sometimes it can be helpful for legacy planning. So the pro side is, because you've got this coverage now that's set to be in play forever, not just for a certain period of time, it can be used for legacy planning throughout time. Let's see, what else? Another pro is there's this cash value that can be used while you're living. And so this is, I think, where it gets a little, you know, this is where we need to spend a lot of time, I think, today, or at least the rest of the time here. Because of this cash value, this really should be viewed as kind of like equity that you would have inside your home. You tracking me so far?
I'm with you.
All right, perfect. So this is one of the most debated parts. And so I want to spend some time talking about, you know, kind of articulating. One of the first things I would say is that cash value is not a separate account. It shouldn't be viewed as kind of like, hey, you've got the life insurance, and then there's this cash value that's this separate account on the side. That's not really what it's like. So sometimes people will say, well, when you pass away, you get the life insurance, but then all of that cash value just goes away. My point I want to make sure that's very clear is it's really not a sub account. It's really more of like the equity that's available like you would in a home. So for example, if you owned a home and it was worth $100,000 and you had $50,000 of equity, if you were to pass away or if you sold the house, you don't get the house price of the $100,000 and the $50,000. You just get the sale price of the home. So it's, you know, so I want to make sure that some people, hopefully this helps understand it, but that cash value is just more of an ability to use some of the death benefit while you're living. It's not an extra account. Mm.
So what makes that piece controversial? In other words, when you say that, why would somebody else in your field say, no, Jason, I disagree with you? And why are you right for clients listening, for people who need to be with you and with MassMutual to get it right?
Sure. So I think I hate to say like what is right or wrong. I think it's more of like just an understanding of how the contract works so that, you know, our community can make good decisions and they're not misinformed or they don't misunderstand what is available, you know, so that when they get into the contract, there's no surprises. So I think that's kind of what's most important about what I'm trying to accomplish here.
Right.
I think what's most important is this appropriate for people? So, all right, so let's see if I can, so let me talk about one of the cons though, is that with the permanent insurance though, it is gonna have a higher cash outlay or a higher commitment. So so that's one of the downsides. One of my colleagues once said, you know, we see too often sometimes people are sold a Maserati when they should be in a Kia. So I think that a lot of times there's a lot of value in owning a home. Right. I think renting a home is absolutely appropriate. So I think, you know, some of the thoughts I have, and I want to see what kind of questions you got, you know, at this point is, you know, it's also a thing where you don't have to have one or the other. It's not an all or nothing kind of deal. Sometimes we talk through and say, hey, maybe a combination of both might be appropriate as well.
Yeah. No, I think you've outlined term versus permanent. I know this is also confusing. I mean, if it's confusing for you in the industry, I don't say confusing because it's controversial or there's lots of opinions in the industry. Imagine what it feels like to be, you know, a regular Joe or Jane who's trying to make sense of this as well on their own. And so I guess, yeah, in closing, any final maybe advice or thoughts in terms of a few things that people can be thinking about on their own on this. And then, of course, we want to encourage our listeners to be able to get with you, Jason Robinson, MassMutual here. We can give some tips on Financial Friday.
Sure.
But the deeper conversations, the specifics, you know, making sure that the person's in the Kia or the Maserati, whatever's best for them, where they are.
100%, right.
That's a one-on-one conversation that needs to be had with you. But any tips or advice, kind of distill all of this a little
bit. Yeah, so I think a couple points I'll make as I'm wrapping this kind of thought up as number one. Also, there's a lot of times people will try and compare the cash value and how it grows to other investments. And one of the things that I would caution people that either if it's my colleagues in the industry that try and position comparing it that way, or even people considering purchasing it, if they compare it that way, it's like comparing apples to oranges. Mm-hmm. You know, the life insurance policies do have a guarantee to them, so they're guaranteed to increase every single year. You know, if you compare them to stock market, there's not that same kind of guarantee. So I would say that you really have to be very careful on what you're comparing it to, because I think it needs to be viewed as what is really the intention of this cash value over time, as opposed to, hey, should we do this or that? I, to be honest with you, I don't think that's a really effective way of making a decision whether or not we should do it or not. Now, okay, so let's get away from kind of the weeds for just a second. I think the one thing I would outline to our community or your listeners is that you have to go through an underwriting process. So whether or not you think term might be most appropriate, or maybe seeing how that cash value can be integrated within your plans, my encouragement is still to understand you got to get, you know, through an underwriting process. Mm-hmm. So no matter what happens, you know, just looking for quotes is kind of irrelevant. It's right. Really got to get through there. The medical underwriting, and then you only make any kind of decisions at the end when you actually get approved, you get an offer, then we can say, okay, how does that integrate within the plan?
Right. Jason Robinson, we're with MassMutual, is with us here to kick our hour off. September is Life Insurance Awareness Month, which sounds like a really kind of cold, hard topic, but you and I have started for my family this process of financial planning, and that's steps of, hey, let's make sure we've got the savings we want, the foundation right, then we can start investing. You're with us for that journey, and I think something that you've always said around this is, look, let's make sure that if Zach steps out of here and gets hit by a bus and doesn't, you know, there's no radio show anymore, is his wife and family going to be okay? And that's a really weird conversation to have. But I got to tell you, going down the financial planning route, knowing that there is that certainty that is something where, God forbid, to go wrong, there's a lot of other things that can now still go right.
Sure.
And that's comforting for me and my family. So in terms of the why of this, we've really dug into the details. But I think this is more important than I ever realized before talking to you, just on my family side. So, Jason, I'm appreciative that we get to deep dive on this with our listeners, because I think it's so important.
Sure.
If someone listening doesn't have, you know, the life or disability insurance set up, how can they get a hold of you and get that process going?
Yeah, you know, our office is always great. You can give us a call, 520-274-3749. It's always a great number. One thing I wanted to throw out there too, as well, that our industry is so highly regulated. A lot of people say, well, maybe the cash value policy is not in the best interest. Sometimes people say that. And I would just challenge you to know that we're so highly regulated that if something truly was not in the best interest of the clients, they would, our regulators would not hesitate to get rid of them. Like, for example, Ponzi schemes, not legal. You know, truly. So I think it's not about whether or not it's good or not. It's more of like, is it a right fit or not? So.
Right. That's why folks should get a hold of you. Jason Robinson, MassMutual. Happy Friday to you.
Yeah.
Thanks for kicking
us
off. And have a great weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, man.
Give Jason Robinson a call and let them know that you heard him on Tipping Point. Our listeners out there would love to point you in that direction. When we come back, America has lost the thread. My point. And then at the bottom of the hour, President Bobby Robbins, University of Arizona, comes on to debrief the start of the school year, how it's going, what's ahead, football, the U of A in D.C., so much more. It'll be a good half an hour conversation to close out this Friday here on Tipping Point on AM 1030 KVY The Voice. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk. When looking at retirement planning, conventional thinking asks, how do I get a higher return? Should I take on more risk, or is there a better product? Jason Robinson and his team at Mass Mutual focuses on the overall strategy first. He and his team of advisors have the tools necessary to measure the proper balance of investments and actuarial science for the best path possible for the highest retirement income. Call Jason and his team at 520-274-3749 to have them run through an analysis at no cost to see how much more efficient you can be, and tell them Zach sent you over.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about, and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more. In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
Helping you make better money decisions is what the Ramsey Show is all about. Today at 1 p.m. on 1030 The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona, here coming to you live out of the Common Workspace Studios. Tipping Point with Zach Gensler on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice. We kicked things off and just said goodbye to Jason Robinson of Mass Mutual. Financial Friday, get your finances right here. We got you covered on Tipping Point. September is Life Insurance Awareness Month, forgive me. And so we're talking about that. You can catch Jason's debrief on the show. On the podcast, if you missed any of it, Dr. Bobby Robbins, University of Arizona president, is going to be on the show, excuse me, at the bottom of the hour. I try to kind of wrap up Fridays, trying to put a bow on the week. What were the stories of the week? What happened? What didn't we get to that matters as we head into the weekend? And there was a piece in the Wall Street Journal. It was published yesterday, late in the day, by Peggy Noonan, who it writes for the Wall Street Journal. And she wrote a piece called America Has Lost the Thread. And of course, I'm not going to read the whole article on the air, but you should go check it out. I thought it was a really interesting piece. Not that I agree with every line and word and dot, but it reflects a question that I've been asking on this show quite a bit, I think, lately. And that is, how did we get to this American moment? This American moment that we are in, how do we get here? And I think whether you are listening as a Republican, as a Democrat, as a liberal, as a conservative, I think wherever you're coming at, coming from in terms of America's political life, I think we're all kind of sitting in this moment and saying, how the heck did we get here? This is not the way it's supposed to be. This is not where we're supposed to be. And I sense that deeply. I sense it personally. I sense it out in the community. How do we get to this American moment? And how do we get out of it? And so Peggy Noonan's article, the second paragraph, reads like this. Again, I'll just read a quick clip of it. There is a sense that we are losing the thread, that America is losing the thread. We couldn't help it, it is in the nature of memory. We compared the America of now with the America of 20 years ago. And we see a deterioration. We feel disturbance at this because we don't know if we can get our way back. The losing of the thread feels bigger than ideology, bigger certainly than parties. It feels like some more fundamental confusion, an inability to play the role of who we are and to be comfortable in who we are. And it's so fascinating, right? I'm no Peggy Noonan. Peggy Noonan is a long time, I would say, center-right thinker, really smart, really refreshing in this weird age where I don't really know what Republican or conservative means anymore. To be honest, she often hits at things that are on my mind. I was telling a friend in light of 9/11, where I said, you know, look, by and large, and certainly if you were Muslim American on 9/12, the America you sensed was different from the America that we often think about with fond memories on 9/12. But by and large, 9/11 was a tipping point moment, where a fundamental togetherness of what America was, what our place was in the world, who we were in it, a swagger, somewhat of a unity, that was a tipping point moment, something that we have lost. And I was having that conversation with a friend last week, and Peggy Noonan mentions it. Here's something that I think is interesting, and I will close on this. She writes this one last part. Again, America has lost the thread. I agree with her on this. She says, regular people are just trying to hide from the national, figuring they'll make strong what they can make strong, the family, the school, the local. They're not trying to maintain control or retreat. They're just trying to make things work. And I think that's true in all of this that we have seen, whether it is wokeness, whether it is critical race theory, whether it is masks, whether it is vaccines, whether it is COVID, whether it is election 2020, whatever the case may be, I think we live in a Jerry Springer reality where the edges, both left and right, of those conversations take up so much air in the room. I agree with Peggy Noonan on this. Over the last 6-7 months, I've been asking myself, I want to cut through that noise on this program, and I want to remember again, think about again, feel again what regular people are thinking, feeling, and doing. We have lost sight of what regular Joe and Jane in America care about, and they are putting their heads down amongst the national noise, figuring they can make strong what they can make strong, the family, the school, the local. They're not interested in the culture wars of maintaining control or retreat. They're just trying to make things work. And I think if we remember through the noise of this moment where it feels like America has lost the thread and we wonder how to get it back again, that maybe it can be found in the center where regular people every day are just trying to make things work. And the noise is on the edges. But the regular American is just trying to make things work. Maybe that's where the thread is found again. This article resonated with me. I have to stop there. Dr. Robbins is in the green room, a conversation I'm greatly looking forward to. But check it out. Opinion, America has lost the thread. Peggy Noonan, Wall Street Journal, my final monologue for the week. For the day. We'll be back on the other side of a short news break, sponsor messages. Dr. Robbins is on the other side, president of the University of Arizona. 1030 The Voice.
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and scheduling time with Devin and her team.
Why I love
where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Life isn't about money, but how you handle money impacts everything. The Ramsey Show, today at 1 on 1030 The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona, here coming to you live out of the Common Workspace Studios, Tipping Point with Zach Yenser, daily drive time morning talk show, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on AM 1030 KVY, The Voice. We talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, wrapping up our last half hour of our last show of the week. With us as our guest is Dr. Bobby Robbins, president of the University of Arizona. Dr. Robbins, good to be with you again. How are you this morning? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Zach. Thank you for giving me a few minutes to chat with you.
Well, right back at you. And I think we had you on last during the summer, maybe earlier in the summer, certainly before classes began. We're seeing around the country, Dr. Robbins, various universities in different states with different political and policy appetites, have very different policies around students back to campus. Some states and some universities are going the mask and vaccine mandate route. Others, like our universities here in Arizona, have figured out ways to or have asked for ways to require masks indoors, but are not requiring vaccines at this point. That's the case here in Arizona. Give us a sense of the policies that the U of A has in place as students have come back to in-person learning, and is what you're doing working?
Yeah, I think it's working very well, and essentially what we're doing is we've got full immersion. We're in the classroom. Students have come back. We have our largest class ever in the history of this great University of Arizona, nearly 50,000 students. Now, some of those are online, of course, but at other locations, but we've got a full campus. They're going to class. They are required to have masks indoors if the indoor space cannot adequately and continuously maintain social distancing. And we've had great, very good compliance with everyone. Everyone, you know, we're all in this together. Theme continues. And so that's working really well. We have seen a very low rate of infection. If we look at where we were last year, it's dramatically lower than last year when we only had about 25% of our essential student classes being run. So I think overall the strategy is working. We're monitoring our buildings with wastewater-based epidemiology, and if we see any positive hits for COVID-19, we're going in and testing all the people in those buildings. So I think overall, Zach, it's working very well. You know, at the peak of this last year, we had hundreds of students in isolation using our testing, tracing, and treating strategy, and we continue to employ that now, and it's working well for us.
Dr. Robbins, got three or four things I really want to talk with you about, so don't want to hang on this topic too terribly long. But what does a herd immunity, we've heard that word thrown around quite a bit at the University of Arizona, look like? And if you had to estimate a percentage of students who you know, either have an acquired or a natural immunity to COVID-19 right now, what is that, and what do you think it says about the spring semester? I know we just started fall semester, but right. Do things look good for the University of Arizona throughout this academic year?
Yeah, I think we're going in the right direction, no doubt about it, Zach. And herd immunity, I think, you know, when we started this whole thing with the original strain of COVID-19, we thought 70%. If we could get 70% of the population immunized, then we would be in good shape. And then Delta came along. So I come back to our fundamentals that we set last year around testing. Even if you're vaccinated, you can still get the Delta strain. Now, the vaccines, particularly Moderna and Pfizer, work very, very well against the Delta variant, but they're still breakthrough infections. So, you know, it's hard to estimate because you don't know what the denominator is, but there are clearly people who are fully vaccinated who still can get an infection. Moreover, Delta has become the predominant strain, certainly in this country, and it's more contagious than the original version, but it causes less illness, meaning the sickness that you get from it is not as bad as the original strain. However, we monitor very closely every day the number of patients in our hospitals, in our ICUs, on ventilators, and we're seeing that start to turn in the right direction. So I think that we're in good shape, and if we continue down this path, I think certainly by the spring semester, we're going to be in a lot better shape than we are right now. There are always the possibilities of new variants that are going to be coming to us, because this, you know, it's a simple single-stranded RNA virus, but it mutates because it wants to stay alive. And so we've got other variants, but none of them seem to be as effective as this Delta variant. So I think overall we're headed in the right direction. I mean, we've got people coming to football games. You know, I'm greatly anticipating the basketball season. I hope this thing continues to go in the right direction, because I'm more concerned in indoor spaces than the outdoor mm-hmm. spaces.
Yeah, I was going to ask you quickly about football games, but you answered that question. Final thing here, and we'll move on from COVID, and you sort of hinted at it, Dr. Robbins, president of the University of Arizona, is I think we're heading towards, hopefully sooner than later, an endemic reality, that this is going to be a virus that is going to continue to figure out how to live with us, and hopefully we figure out even better how to live with it. What is the endemic reality of COVID-19 on campus? What is an acceptable endemic status of this virus? Not just the rest of this year, Dr. Robbins, but in the years to come, we have to figure out how to live with it, don't we?
We do, and I think we're in the absence of mandating vaccines. You know, I want to get back to your question, because I don't think I answered it about, you know, what is herd immunity. We can't ask whether any of the 60,000 people in our university community are vaccinated or not, but we do ask them to voluntarily download their vaccination status, and we're well over 50% of faculty, staff, students that have done that. I think, getting back to your point, there are many more people than have taken the time to download their vaccination status that are vaccinated or have had COVID. Now, if you had COVID in the original strain, you can still get the Delta strain a second time. And so I think when I said about 70% would have been herd immunity is what we were thinking. I think with the Delta variant, it's probably closer to 80-85% that we need to get to. And I think we're rapidly getting to that point on the campus. The problem is that, you know, our community doesn't just stay in this campus. They go outside into the community, they get on airplanes, they travel, they go to other places. So, you know, the overall objective, of course, is to get everybody in the world vaccinated, and we're years away from that. But we're working very hard nationally and internationally to try to get as many people vaccinated as possible so that we get to that point where it is endemic and we just live with it.
I know this has been a big push on your part, and so I want to close this segment on this, Dr. Robbins. Of all the testing that is happening on campus, what has been kind of the ballpark positivity rate? And I know that there's a number for students and there's a number for faculty, but of the testing push going on right now, what is the positivity rate right now?
It's about 2-3%. You know, we're trying to watch it very closely. We like to keep it under 5%. You know, there are all kind of fancy things that we look at, new cases per 100,000. We're doing very well in Pima County in that regard. It's about 25. That's the number for the state. It's closer to 50. The RT value, which is the transmissibility, we look at that across the state, which is a little under one, Pima County a little under one. We did see a bit of an increase in the RT value in our local 85719 zip code around the university because we did have students coming from more than 100 countries around the world and every state and in the union, and so we did see a little bit of a bump in that RT value, but the number of cases that we're seeing is around 2-3%.
Got
but
it.
We have to do more testing. So we're doing about 1,500 tests a day. We've got the capacity for 3,000 tests a day. That's what we'd like to see. And we just implemented Dr. Mike Warby really scaled up this saline gargle, swish and gargle test, and we've got kiosks all across campus, and you can take away a little tube, you drink the saline, you swish it around your mouth, you gargle three times, and you put it back in the tube and send it in, and that's more convenient. You don't have a swab in your nose, and we think that's going to get us to the 3,000 tests a day that we need.
Dr. Bobby Robbins is with us, the president of the University of Arizona, a two-segment conversation. The first one has been focused on COVID-19. I think especially interesting in the context that universities are not able to mandate vaccines here in Arizona. The three state universities, including the University of Arizona, have found a way, though, to mandate masks, which has been a little bit of political contention, but we'll put a pin in that for now. We're going to go to our first break. When we come back, I want to talk some football, if you wouldn't mind, Dr. Robbins. And more importantly, the University of Arizona next week is opening its Washington, D.C. Center for Outreach and Collaboration. I want to talk about why that's important and what's going to go on next week. That and more on the other side of this last break of the hour. Tipping Point with Zach Yenser returns in just a minute.
Tucson Station for local news and talk. 1030 The Voice.
You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live? What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at storytellerpr.com to learn more.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
After you finish listening to The Tipping Point, listen to my show, The Hugh Hewitt Show, this morning from 10 to noon, right here on 1030 KBOI The Voice.
We are back, Tucson, and all of Southern Arizona. Tipping Point here live, the Common Workspace Studios. We are coming to you daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. The president of the University of Arizona, Dr. Bobby Robbins, is with us this morning. We spent the full last segment talking about COVID-19 classes, the start of the fall semester. President Robbins, next week, the opening of the University of Arizona Washington, D.C. Center for Outreach and Collaboration is scheduled. Tell us a little bit about the center, why it's there, and what you hope it'll do for us here in Tucson.
Yeah, Zach, the center, we were going to open it March of 2020, and then
we paused it.
And so we're very, very excited about opening our center. It's a beautiful space. We euphemistically call it our embassy in D.C. It's a center for us to coordinate our interactions with our government affairs people, with the legislature, the White House, and importantly with our funding agencies, whether it be NASA, National Science Foundation, Department of Energy, National Institutes of Health, so that we have spaces there. All next week we're going to be having some of our real stars at the university hold symposium and give talks and just educate the Washington community about what we're up to here at the University of Arizona. And it's really exciting. It also gives us a space for our students who go to D.C. To study for a semester in Washington, D.C., sort of a home, a central place to congregate. It also allows us to do recruiting on the East Coast. We have recruiters for prospective students and their families, sort of a University of Arizona in D.C., so that they can see all the things that they would see once they make the trek out to Tucson to visit us here. Also for the people who love the University of Arizona, our very gracious donors, a place for us to have meetings there. So it's just really exciting for us to be able to have an outpost in Washington, D.C., and it's going to be really important. It's very exciting for us.
Dr. Robbins is with us, president of the University of Arizona. I wanted to ask you specifically because the Jed Fish era, now switching over to football, if you don't mind, Dr. Robbins, the Jed Fish era has begun officially on the field in Tucson, and I think he's done an incredible job of connecting the university and the football program to the greater Tucson area. I think he's really good at it. And it's been a bit of a rough start, but I have not lost hope personally at all. I think this is going to take time. But also in the first home game, Dr. Robbins, it's been in the news, so I will ask you, it was kind of a rough start for the fans to get in and watch the game, and your athletic director has addressed that, and I believe it will also get fixed. But any thoughts you want to share on the Jed Fish era and any encouragement to Tucsonans listening about the game day experience in all facets?
Yeah, I want to apologize to all of our fans who enthusiastically came out for our home opener of Coach Fish's first game here at home. I think they played a solid game in Las Vegas. It was really exciting when they were in the red zone start of the fourth quarter. I think they're going to score and get a 2-point conversion, and we're going to have a really exciting fourth quarter. And we just never got there. And then I think San Diego State is always very athletic and very fast, and they just jumped on us early and sort of a first round punch in the face, and we never could recover, and that was disappointing. I know the players, the coaches, and certainly all of our fans were disappointed in that effort. I'm hoping we break the streak and we get a win this Saturday, because the next week we've got to go into Eugene, Oregon, and that's going to be a really tough one. But I would just say for the fans, please come out, give us another chance. We were trying to do a lot of things at once, and I know Dave Hickey has talked about this, but I think we're going to be ready for our fans and make it a much more pleasant experience of getting into the stadium and cheering the Wildcats on.
Dr. Robbins, one last sports thing, but again, so important to this community. On the heels of that first homeowner weekend on the football side, if I've got my timeline straight, was also a celebration of the life and legacy of Lute Olson, basketball coach for the University of Arizona. Lots of former players and folks came back and came in for that celebration. He remains, I think, and I agree with what was said, one of the best things ever to happen to this community. I imagine you agree.
I certainly do, and it was, it was so unfortunate that it was, it took so long to get this organized because of, our concerns about the pandemic. But what a beautiful and uplifting celebration from his family, his friends, former coaches, and certainly former players like Steve Kerr, Richard Jefferson. JT was there. He gave a great speech, and I'm just so appreciative. Andre Iguodala, Luke Walton was here. There's so many of his former players who time and time again credited Coach Olson for not only developing them as basketball players, but developing them as men and helping them be successful in this bigger game of life. And Coach Olson was just an absolute class act, and we miss him every day, but we're excited about Coach Tommy Lloyd. I think he is he understands the importance of following in the footsteps of Coach Olson and Coach Miller, who both were incredibly successful here at the University of Arizona. And just like with Coach Fish and And all the new coaches that we have here, I think Dave Hickey's done a great job of, you know, he's hired a new soccer coach who's tremendous, new baseball coach, new softball coach, new football coach, and new men's basketball coach. And importantly, convinced Coach Adia Barnes to stay right here at home and continue the incredible run she's had. So I am really enthusiastic about what's going on in athletics. And as you said, it's going to take some time. I'm fully supportive of Coach Fish, Coach Lloyd, all of our new coaches, mm-hmm. and the coaches who've been here for a long time in both, you know, men and women's golf, volleyball, you know, all the swimming and diving, all the great things we've got going on here in athletics. And it's just a testament to the history of this great university.
Dr. Robbins, president of the University of Arizona. We'll leave it there for today. Hope to do this again, sir. Always appreciate your time. I know it's limited and tight, but always appreciate when you can come on with us and talk about the University of Arizona, such an anchor institution in this community. Dr. Robbins, thank you again so much.
Thank you so much, Zach. It's always a pleasure to spend time with you.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend, and I believe we'll get our first win this weekend.
Me too.
Take care, Dr. Robbins.
Okay, thanks, Zach.
Yes, sir. And Tucson, that does it for us today on the program. When we come back, Louis Christensen will be our Monday morning news hour. Edmund Marquez Rio Nuevo will be on Tuesday. The director of housing for the state of Arizona is Thursday. President Michael Crow, Arizona State University, is Friday. In other words, keep us in your calendar. 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. drive time every morning, Monday through Friday here. Hugh Hewitt up next. Bill Buckmaster at noon. As always, that does it for us on the show today. If you missed anything, you can check us out on the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play Music, kvoy.com/podcast. You can catch up on all of our interviews. Mayor Romero yesterday was a great conversation. Check it out on the program. Take care, Tucson. We'll be back on Monday.